Coming up on The Week in Geek, Amazon finally shared just how many people are part of its Prime membership program, and it is a big number. Plus, the company started cozying up with longtime competitor Best Buy. We'll dive into both of those stories, and former Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer held the first shareholders meeting for American citizens this week, using government data to give an annual report on how well the American government is meeting its goals. And, John, this just in, breaking Donkey Kong news.
Yes.
So stick around
cool.
for that, coming
awesome.
Up in the Random Channel. From GeekWire.com in Seattle, I'm Todd Bishop.
And I'm John Cook.
So, John, to kick things off this week, I got a quote for you. It's a trivia contest.
For me?
Yes.
Good. Hit me.
Who said this past week? Physical stores aren't going anywhere. Who said it?
The Best Buy CEO.
Nope.
Jeff Bezos.
Yes.
Amazon
CEO Jeff Bezos said that. Can you believe that? That would be about
well,
the
I knew it was one of the two, given the tease on
exactly.
the show. It was Best Buy or Amazon. I missed it. I had a 50-50 chance.
Exactly.
Totally bonked it.
So Amazon and Best Buy announced a partnership this past week that was ostensibly about smart TVs. Best Buy is going to be the exclusive retailer for a certain line of Amazon Fire TVs, in other words, TV sets with Amazon's Fire TV software built in.
Now, I was wondering, now, Best Buy's a Minnesota-based company.
Yes, Minneapolis.
And Target is a Minnesota-based company,
yes.
retailer. Target was in bed with Amazon many, many years ago.
That's
remember?
A very good point, yes.
I wonder what they were thinking down the road in St. Paul to Minneapolis or
yes.
wherever they were based. I'm trying to think of another great Minnesota, Duluth. No, I don't think they're based in Duluth.
Yeah, but by the way, I think Best Buy may technically be Richfield, which is kind of like Redmond
okay,
to Seattle,
whatever.
If I understand.
Greater but, Minneapolis area. Yeah. I wonder what was going on in the halls of Target
yes.
as they heard this news. And I would love to be a fly on the wall of that executive meeting.
So over the years, Amazon has had a series of partnerships with a bunch of different physical retailers. You mentioned
Toys
Target,
Us,
Toys R Us.
Look how that ended up.
Exactly. So here you have Best Buy essentially doubling down. But this is an interesting story. As we said, it's ostensibly about smart TVs, but I think there's a lot more going on here. You had the two CEOs essentially getting together to talk about and announce this thing, which is significant when you got Bezos and the Best Buy CEO there. I think this is the first step toward a larger partnership. I think it's potentially the first step toward an acquisition where Amazon could buy Best Buy in much the same way that it bought Whole Foods.
Yeah, and there was a lot of speculation after Amazon bought Whole Foods about what was the next brick and mortar category that Amazon was going to go after to expand into. And a lot of rumors here in the Seattle area that it would actually be Nordstrom. And going big on the fashion area, which Amazon is expanding into in a large way. But certainly computer gadgets and personal electronics makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. And it's the continuation, really, of Amazon's awakening to physical retail. Now, you could say that all along they might have seen the importance of physical retail. But here you have them really saying online needs physical to work.
Yeah. So let me quiz you.
Yes.
And you're going to need to use the Google here in order to answer this one, because I am curious and I don't have my computer in front of me.
Yes.
You don't just know this. I know you don't know this top of your head.
Okay.
What is the market value of Best Buy?
Yeah. Okay.
Because Whole Foods was in a little bit of a downswing when Amazon bought them. And I think Amazon got a pretty good deal. I think roughly $13 billion they paid. Best Buy, I'm guessing, given the market share they have in consumer electronics, and given their physical retail presence, my gut, I don't know, tell me. You should be able to find this quicker than that. Do you know how to use the internet? Come on. I was vamping here because I figured you at least could have done the basic Best Buy search.
So the ticker price I've now figured out is BBY.
Okay, good. Well,
all right, I finally found it here. I don't know why that was so hard to find. But at any rate, Google Finance says that it's $20.73 billion. That's
so about $20 billion. So bigger than Whole Foods, and you would anticipate they'd have to pay a premium on that. So they could technically gobble them up.
Pretty easily.
Yeah, I mean, Amazon's market value is over $700 billion.
Right.
Put
so
it
they
in
could,
perspective.
So I they mean, could use that, cash, stock, to buy them
yeah.
up. It would make a lot of sense if you think about it. Amazon really is a company that does very well in electronics. They have their own branded electronics in some cases. And it would be a big new venue to sell things like the Kindle. And obviously they do that already in Best Buy, but to actually have that be part of your first party chain in much the same way that Whole Foods extended their grocery line. It would make sense. So what do you think, based on the history, though, if you look at Amazon's partnerships with Toys R Us and with Target and others, do you think Best Buy is doing something smart here?
It does seem like it's a new... The deals we're mentioning there with Target and Toys R Us does seem to be like a different era for Amazon. I think that they have maybe now learned how to acquire companies and partner with companies. And it just seems to me that Amazon generally is trying to turn over this new leaf. I mean, they're still obviously trying to grow and become even bigger than they are and even more dominant. But I do think there's probably a good opportunity there, especially if it leads to an acquisition for Best Buy that's very valuable to the company down the road.
And we should be clear that that part is pure speculation on our part, the notion that Best Buy would be acquired by Amazon.
I didn't track the story that closely, but after this news came out, putting some analysis out about what that would look like. Not much.
Yeah. No, I will say the thing that got a lot of attention is that Best Buy, for the first time through this deal, will become a third-party seller on Amazon of these TVs, which is interesting because it effectively embraces showrooming. So you could go into Best Buy, look for these TVs with the Fire OS built in, and then if you want to actually buy them online, you either go to BestBuy.com or you go to Amazon on the Best Buy channel.
And you would assume that Best Buy is getting a cut of those sales that are being done on the Best Buy channel.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So there's some sort of interesting revenue share agreement there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Best Buy really has stood out as a retailer that has come back and done well in the Amazon era. We've actually covered this on GeekWire before. They are really good at in-store pickups, for example. I just did this last week. I was trying to track down some LOL Surprise dolls. Are you familiar with this, John?
No, I don't know them.
So this is a new phenomenon among first grade girls.
Okay.
And so my daughter really wanted one.
I've got a second grade boy. Do you know about Match Attacks?
I don't. We should do a whole show on these two things. What are Match Attacks?
Oh, it's European football trading cards, of course.
LOL Surprise Dolls.
Yeah, Sergio Aguero.
Oh, of course.
Of course, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
LOL Surprise Dolls are not quite that sophisticated, not quite European, I don't think. But anyway, that's a whole other show. But I was able to get it from Best Buy when I wasn't able to find it in any stores or even in a timely manner on Amazon. I was able to get on Best Buy on last Friday night. And
look at you being a good
get
dad.
On my phone, and it was actually a really cool experience. We walked into the Best Buy, and my daughter said, "Well, what are we doing here? I thought you said because I kept telling her, trust me. And I walked up to the pickup, and the guy, I was trying to keep it secret the whole time, and the guy said, "What are you here to pick up?" And I said, "LOL Surprise Dolls." And you should have seen the look on her face. Oh my God, it was one of the best moments. All right, so that is Best Buy and Amazon. Really interesting partnership between two rivals, really. The other fascinating Amazon news this past week, John, how many Prime members does Amazon have?
I would say just over 100 million.
Just over 100 million, exactly. This has been one of the biggest secrets in the tech world. Amazon has not ever before disclosed the number of Prime members. This is a huge number. This is a big number. It is equivalent to the population of Canada and the UK. Just to put this in context.
And these are international.
Yes, global members.
They didn't specify or break it apart anymore.
No, so this includes people who pay annually. It includes people who pay around $12 and change per month for Prime on a month-to-month basis. And it just includes the whole thing. One of the interesting parts about it from a disclosure perspective was they did not disclose this as part of quarterly earnings. Jeff Bezos put it into his annual letter to shareholders as almost an aside, as the first bullet item among his listing of Amazon business highlights for the year. That, to me, is interesting because then it doesn't create the precedent where they would then have to disclose it or be expected to disclose it with their quarterly earnings. So it's a little sneaky. Amazon's always been a little bit squishy with all the numbers.
Absolutely. So. Well, it's a force. Yeah. In terms of Prime, I know you're a big user.
I am, yeah. In fact, I got a great scoop on Amazon just because I was shopping. I saw that they finally started disclosing the reasons for their Amazon's Choice label. So that pays off in terms of reporting.
Keep shopping, buddy.
All right, that is the Amazon news for this past week. We have a lot more to talk about, though. I was able to hang out a little bit this past week with Steve Ballmer, the former Microsoft CEO, in his new era, his new life. And we're going to tell you all about that coming up next on GeekWire.
This GeekWire podcast is sponsored in part by Fred Hutch Obliteride, a fundraising bike ride and 5K walk to raise millions of dollars with the goal of curing cancer faster. Scenic routes for all levels of riders include 25-mile, 50-mile, and 100-mile rides, plus a 5K walk. Be a superhero and invest in Fred Hutch scientists to end cancer once and for all. Obliteride takes place August 11th. Registration and info at obliteride.org.
Welcome back to GeekWire from GeekWire.com in Seattle. I'm Todd Bishop.
And I'm John Cook.
Steve Ballmer, the former Microsoft CEO, is probably best known in his post-Microsoft life as the owner of the
LA Clippers, Todd.
That's right. That's right. Yes. There's the shots of him on the sidelines, dancing, cheering, agonizing over the Clips.
Doing the trampoline slam dunking.
Absolutely. He was in many ways meant to be a professional sports team owner, I'm convinced. He also, though, has another gig. He is the founder and head of a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization called USA Facts, which is, to me, a really interesting project because it attempts to apply to the government some of the same reporting principles that a public company would have. So they literally, each year now, for 2 years, have come out with a 10K, which is in the SEC lingo for public company's annual report, and a sort of glossy color annual report for the federal government, basically saying, okay, we as citizens are effectively shareholders in this country, and on tax day, they come out with a report.
How are we doing?
It's funny. I asked Ballmer whether, I took the analogy a little bit further. I said, are you buying or selling as an investor? And he said he's buying. What else is he going to say?
Yeah.
But with some storm clouds on the horizon, he's worried about things like the national deficit and the fact that we continue to run deficits. He's worried about the inability of people in lower income brackets to realize the American dream. He's worried about racial inequality and all these things to him. If he were looking at the U.S. as an investor, he would say these are essentially the risk factors. And so it was a really interesting conversation. It's, to me, one way to wrap your head around the government in a much more logical way, because business at least has a framework to look at these things through. And it's really interesting. So one of the things he did, though, was he held an America's shareholder meeting over actually on the Microsoft campus in Redmond. He rented out the studio for the day, although I'm not sure if that's the sort of one of those lingering benefits you get as the
Maybe,
former CEO.
Yeah.
So let's listen to one of the highlights from Steve Ballmer talking at his America's Shareholders meeting for U.S. taxpayers.
We live in a crazy, crazy world right now of alternate facts and fake news, and it's not possible to really understand in that world where our government is and what you want to make decisions. We turn to numbers. What happened in the past? There's no argument about numbers. They are what they are. People can argue about forecasts, but numbers have the advantage of being nonpartisan. They're not saying that's extremely large or extremely small. You can look at the numbers and make your own decisions about what's happened and how you feel about what's happened by looking at real, authentic government data about the past.
It is really interesting what he's trying to do. He's trying to focus people on facts. And he says,
now, why would you do that?
No forecasts, essentially.
Yeah.
So the idea is to say, hey, everybody can have different opinions. Everybody can argue over where the country should go. But to have an informed debate, we need to start with a shared understanding of the facts.
I think it's a noble effort. Is anyone buying into this, or do you think it's going to have an impact in Congress or across the country? I mean, I think it's a great idea, but it just seems like we're at the exact extreme opposite of listening to facts.
I asked him about that, and I said, so where are you? Because it feels like this is not really happening in
the world writ large for this.
I
think unfortunately,
for him, this is a long-term quest. And one of his hopes is that the government would itself start doing this. He's taking government data,
I mean,
to be clear.
Don't they kind of do it already with a budget, or is there nothing? I mean, what's the difference?
There's nothing that looks across the U.S. government to all the agencies and to localities and states in the same way to pull all of it together in this kind of comprehensive report. The other thing that's cool is they say, what's the mission of the U.S. government? And they look at the preamble to the United States Constitution.
So and they put them, that's their mission statement.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the U.S. mission statement. I, as somebody who's followed companies all these years, it's just kind of cool to see how they're doing that. And, you know, so I think it's at least.
Did they have like the principal shareholders, you know, in most financial documents, you have the principal owning shareholders.
No.
I guess that would be the American public. Everyone has
exactly.
should technically have. How many people are there? 300 billion in the U.S.?
You know, that's a good
300 million in the U.S. So everyone has. Is that right?
You're testing my Google abilities
yes,
here today.
That's right.
325.7 million
so
as
So I guess that's how many shareholders there are, right?
Exactly.
Although are you a shareholder if you're under 18 and you can't vote or if you're not a citizen in your hair?
Correct.
I don't know. Yeah. They're getting into some thorny issues here.
So it was fun for me. It was kind of a kick because it was at the old Microsoft Studios facility in Redmond. A couple little behind-the-scenes tidbits. Amy Hood, the Microsoft CFO, was in the audience. I thought that was kind of cool. She was there to watch the former Microsoft CEO deliver this. And Ballmer had the actual printed out 10K for the U.S. that he had with him. And they were joking about how much bigger the 10K for the U.S. is than Microsoft's annual 10K.
I would think so.
Which would make sense. And the other thing was, this for me brought back a ton of memories because back in 2006, I was one of a group of reporters who were brought over to the Microsoft studios on a total ruse. Microsoft pretended like they were going to have a big day of briefings with some of their top executives at the time, just to throw out some old names like Jim Altchin, who was then the Windows chief, and Robbie Bach, who was then in charge of Xbox. And about an hour into it, they said, okay, folks, this is great. We're glad you're hearing from our executives. There's a different reason we're actually here. We have a big announcement to make. Bill Gates will be retiring from Microsoft in 2 years.
Really?
And
I didn't know that that's how that happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
So is it? It's a lesson to those journalists and reporters out there. Show up.
Show up. It was an off-the-record briefing. Well, to be clear, the briefing that they were ostensibly giving was off the record. And so there were reporters there who shall remain nameless, but who still are in the business and actually have been on this podcast, who had shown up from the Bay Area without their computers. And so here you have,
or you probably had reporters who just said, "I don't want to go to an off the record session. I'm gonna skip
well,
this one."
The thing was, it was enough. They were smart about it. The access was high level enough that you really couldn't skip it. Yeah,
but not like if you knew that Gates was going to announce his retirement
from Microsoft. I mean, talk about an historic moment. And so he and in the same, essentially the same building, one of the same spaces that we were in for this America shareholders meeting. They did this announcement, and it's one of my strongest memories of covering the company over the years.
Yeah, wow.
It was
I bet
historic.
People were just shocked.
It was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, very interesting moment with Steve Ballmer, and just lots to do. I'm actually going out to Washington, D.C. next week. He's going to be speaking at the Newseum as part of a Politico event series.
I've always wanted to go to the Newseum. I've not been there.
So
I heard it's awesome.
Yeah, I went to the earlier incarnation of it, which was in the D.C. suburbs. I can't remember
fake
which
museum?
One. No, not the fake Newseum.
Because that one's even better. Folks, go check that one out. That one's even better.
No, they had an original incarnation of it, and I can't wait to see what the new one's like, because it's just off the Washington Mall. So I'm looking forward to
cool.
that.
Oh, cool. Wow. Yeah, that'll be fun.
All right.
Back a report card and little insights on the museum. I've always wanted to go there.
Will do. Okay, so that was Steve Ballmer's America's Shareholder Meeting this past week. We will link to it from the show notes on geekwire.com. Coming up, it's the random channel, Donkey Kong. Don't miss it. Welcome back, everybody. It is time for the random channel, that moment of the week where we talk about all the random items we were buzzing about behind the scenes at GeekWire. John, this has been a story that we've covered for years now. Do you know the story I'm talking about?
Yes, of course.
The King of Kong.
King of Kong.
The fabulous documentary.
Love it. Highly recommend.
For people who have not seen it, we won't ruin it. But although we're
Claire,
are
you've not seen this?
Claire, our podcast producer.
This is right in your wheelhouse.
The most bona fide geek in the audience.
Oh my gosh, really.
In the office.
Oh, And you love gaming too.
Claire,
oh,
this,
God, you
Claire,
have
this
got
is an
to
assignment.
Watch this.
I think it must. Is it still on Netflix? The King of
it's
Kong?
It's
a Fistful of Quarters?
It's easily defined.
Okay, so I don't want to ruin it. It's really, you can't really ruin it.
There's, it's so good. It's so good. It's really good documentary.
So the whole premise is, and it's obviously a documentary, it's real. You've got this guy named Billy Mitchell who is really this he's a hot sauce salesman.
He's a hot sauce salesman, I think, from Florida.
Yes. And he.
Long. Pony, the kind of long mullet, I guess is what it was called.
With a beard. He's still got it, by the way.
Yeah, okay. Glad he has his look still.
And he competed against a teacher from Redmond named Steve Wiebe, Redmond, Washington, for the Donkey Kong Championship over the years. They would go back and forth. Billy Mitchell would get it, and then Steve Wiebe would get it. And the documentary is all about essentially Steve Wiebe as the protagonist against the evil villain of Billy Mitchell.
And it's so well done.
Good. It's so good. There was news on this front this past week.
You can tell Todd and I love this story.
Twin Galaxies, the official arbiter of all things video game high score, they reviewed a bunch of footage of Billy Mitchell's past Donkey Kong play. And they discovered evidence, they say, Billy Mitchell denies, in that footage that he was using an emulation. In other words, he was not playing the Donkey Kong game straight off of the stock CPU that would have gone into arcades back in the day. Instead, it looks to them like he was using what's called a MAME machine. In other words, a standard computer that can emulate these video games. They're actually really cool if you can get one.
Yeah, and the advantage would be the processing speed would be faster, or
no,
you could maneuver more quickly, or what?
They say that with these MAME machines, there are ways to do cheats.
Oh, like skip levels, or...
I don't know exactly what it was, and they were a little bit vague in their actual statement about what exactly is going on, but essentially they recognized, I think it was in the transitions, they could see things that were clearly not the original Donkey Kong game.
Wow, amazing. So, we need a version 2 of the... Is it Fistful of Quarters?
I think so.
Is that
King of Kong?
King of Kong,
now,
yes.
To be clear, there's some nuance here. So neither Billy Mitchell nor Steve Wiebe is the current reigning high score champion on Donkey Kong. That's somebody
really?
Else.
Somebody
yes.
else is
somebody
taking
else.
The crown.
Yes, okay. And it's really gone past them at this point. But
they've gotten older. They've lost some of their skills, right?
The issue was who was first in history to reach a million points. And so with Billy Mitchell's scores now being essentially thrown out by Twin Galaxies.
This is the equivalent of doping.
It's the equivalent.
And the Olympics, essentially.
But I will say Billy Mitchell says that
And you trust Billy Mitchell.
So, in fact, let's listen to a little bit of that audio.
I've been asked to address things that are recently in the media. The fact of the matter is now there is a true professional due diligence being done to investigate things that happened as far as 35 years ago in a professional manner. Not in a shock jock mentality designed to create hits. We will show that everything that has been done, everything was done professionally, according to the rules, according to the scoreboard, the integrity that was set up, not 2014 forward by the current regime who wants to reach back 35 years. Everything will be transparent. Everything will be available. I wish I had it in my hands right now. I wish I could hand it to you. But it's taken a considerable amount of time. Witnesses, documents, everything will be made available to you. Nothing will be withheld. You absolutely have my commitment to that.
We should say in that clip, he's wearing a U.S. American flag tie.
And also an American flag pocket square, just to compliment the flag.
It's beautiful. I mean, he's a patriot. He's an American patriot.
Yeah,
really.
why are you taking away this patriot's high score in Donkey Kong?
It's just the seriousness there is. Do you think he is truly that serious about it, or do you think he knows his?
I think there's a little bit of WWE going on here.
Okay,
if I could be a little more contemporary,
right,
but in his day it was WWF.
Yeah,
but
it's so good. Well, I'm buying in hook, line, and sinker because I love it.
Absolutely, definitely. If you have never seen that movie, it's worth checking out. I'm actually
now we should call out for a new challenge. Why don't we have Billy Mitchell and Steve Wiebe settle this once and for all at the GeekWire Summit on stage, October 1st.
Do you realize how long this takes?
But maybe they're going through the course of the 48-hour summit in a separate area that people can watch and pay attention to.
Oh my gosh, it looks like it's no longer on Netflix. We got to figure out where this thing is. The documentary may be somewhere else. But I'm sure you can get it on Amazon. At any rate, that was my highlight of the past week on the Random Channel.
And now mine.
Yes, exactly. I figured it was our shared Random Channel item. All right, that's all I got for this week.
That's all I got, too.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Oh, real fast, if you listen this long, you should definitely know about two things. Number one, the GeekWire Awards coming up on May 10th. The voting is currently underway in categories ranging from Startup of the Year to
Next Tech Titan to CEO of the Year.
And we're going to have the awards ceremony May 10th. At Mopop, formerly the EMP in Seattle. Number two, we launched a new video series this past week called Elevator Pitch. Entrepreneurs pitch their ideas in the 42-second ride up the Space Needle, and then they're critiqued by our panel of judges. It's a great show. You should definitely check it out. It's the first of 9 episodes in this first season, and the winner, speaking of the GeekWire Summit, the 4 winners will ultimately pitch their ideas on stage at the GeekWire Summit coming up in October. All right.
That's right.
So check that out at geekwire.com/elevator pitch. Until next time, I'm Todd Bishop.
And I'm John Cook.
Thanks for listening to GeekWire.
Thanks for listening to The Week in Geek, GeekWire's weekly news podcast. Follow all of our coverage of tech and science news at geekwire.com and subscribe to our shows on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts.